And as you turn there, I want to begin with a question. And I want you to raise your hand for me if you agree with the question or you answer this in the affirmative. How many of you want to be mad? Let's see your hand. Well, only me and my family are the oddballs. How many of you want to be mad? No one want to be mad? Well, let me ask it this way. How many of you want to make a difference? Okay, only 90 hands still up. 90%? That's what MAD means in an acronym. Make a difference. Now, let me ask the question again. How many of you want to be mad? Now you get it, right? Now you get it. How many of you want to be mad for Jesus, for the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you very much. And I think that's very important. And I think if you and I are going to make a difference, it doesn't matter if you are 5 and you know Him as Savior, if you are 95, there should be a desire in our hearts to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think one of the ways that you and I can make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ is when we are surrendered to Him and allowing Him to use the gifts and the talents that He has given to us. You remember the story in the Old Testament? The Lord said, Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses says, it's only a rod. And the Lord asked him to put it down and became a serpent. And the Lord, you know the story. But that rod became mighty because Moses was willing to give God what he had in his hand. And that rod made a difference. And God wants us to make a difference. God wants us to be mad for Him. And as I said, one of the ways that we can do that is by using the spiritual gifts and the natural talents that God has given to us. We've been looking at 1 Corinthians 12, and verse 1 says, Paul says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You see, you and I cannot make a difference if we are ignorant of what our spiritual gifts are. And it doesn't matter how old you are, if you are a Christian, you have a gift. And you cannot be the effective and a dynamic Christian to make a difference and to be mad for the Lord Jesus if you do not know what your gift is. And so if you want to make a difference, as Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant. He says, and the term here has to do with, I would not have you to be unacquainted with spiritual gifts. And that's the thought there. Not that they were dumb, not that they were stupid, but he says, I would not have you as a Christian to be unacquainted about spiritual gifts. And so tonight I want to focus on this whole idea. If we're going to make a difference, we must use our gift. But if you don't know what your gift is, how could you make a difference? Right, Sister Celeste? How could you make a difference? And many times for other Christians, we want to make a difference. And we are serving the Lord as best we can. But we just said, what is my gift? And so I want to suggest 3 things. In a sense, to try to help us, along the Spirit of God, how we can discover and develop our spiritual gifts for the Lord. All right? And so, first of all, if you're going to make a difference for the Lord by using and by knowing your gift, first of all, you need to inform yourself about the total package of the gifts that are in your life. And when I say that, I mean this. First of all, God has given you natural talents. What is it that you naturally do that is not difficult for you to do? Something that is just natural. You just do it. You know, you don't have to learn it. You just do it naturally. What are some of those? What are some of those? Take, for instance, my wife and I were talking about this. My wife is just naturally creative with her hands. She don't have to struggle to do things. Me? It's a big struggle. All right? She just... We visited Brother Roddy the other day in his workshop. My wife was just salivating. And she saw all this stuff that he does. And, oh, man, she was excited about that. You know, and I'm glad that Brother Roddy do that, but Brother Roddy, that don't move me. Really, I mean, that, oh, yeah, she was excited. See, that's what she, naturally, she's inclined to that. Brother Roddy can do that without a problem. You know, that's the natural abilities, and we all have those. And you see, God wants to use those too. He wants to use those. So we need to understand what is our natural abilities are. Because God wants to use those natural abilities that you have. Whether it be mechanical, whether it be in the arts and whatever, we can use those for the glory of God. And then there's the whole idea of our acquired abilities. There are some things that we have to learn. They don't come natural, but we learn them. We just, you know, we just get into it and we learn how to do it. Again, let me use my wife as an illustration. She, you know, she, when we got married, she learned how to sew. Now she's into baking and she's learning how to decorate cakes and all that stuff. That's something that she's learning. She's acquiring these things. It didn't come natural. And there are some things that you have learned, that I have learned, that we have acquired. And so we have to understand, what are these things that we have acquired along the way? And so what is our total understanding of that? And so we need to maybe sit down and tally these things up and say, okay, what are my natural talents? What are my acquired abilities? And then, of course, there is the spiritual gifts. All right? What is my spiritual gift? We need to inform ourselves of the total package of the spiritual gifts in the Bible. The main portion of Scripture that lists the spiritual gifts are Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4:10 and so on, talk about the various gifts. And so you look those up and you ask yourself the question, which one of these best suit me? Inform yourself about the total package of gifts in your life. And so look at all of the gifts that God has given. And that's number one. The second thing, if you're going to make a difference with the Lord, not only need to inform yourself about the total package of gifts in your life, you need to go on a gift hunt. How many like treasure hunts? I think the kids and the young people enjoy that. We used to do something in Freeport where someone would set out a course. We used to call it the treasure hunt. Everybody would jump in cars, and we'd have our paper. These cars would have their paper with where you had to go and what you had to do and what you had to look for. Man, we used to have a ball with that. We used to go all over Freeport. Sometimes the course would take us an hour and a half. Some people get lost. It take them 3 hours. But, you know, we go on this hunt. Gift, this treasure hunt. But go on a gift hunt. There was a young man by the name of Stephen. You know, he didn't seem to fit in junior high school. Everybody thought that, you know, you had to be a good sportsman. You had to play baseball. You had to play football. But, you know, Stephen really didn't fit into that type of stuff. He wasn't an athlete. And so he didn't fit in. People used to call him the klutz. Anyone ever call you that? Maybe you're not an athletic person. But as he got into high school, he took an interest in photography and movies. And then he found other people who had the same interest, and they named themselves the Leper Colony. And he developed his interest in later years. We would know him today as Steven Spielberg. And I'm sure you've seen some of his movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark and all those stuff. You know, and so, but he was an athletic physically. He wasn't into that stuff. But he discovered something else. And so, as you go on a gift hunt, I want to suggest some things. As you go looking for your gift, pray for God's wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, what do you have to do? Ask of God to give it to all men liberally, unabraded not, and it shall be given him. Another version says, if you lack wisdom, he shall ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it shall be given him. And so as you go on this gift and ask God, God, give me wisdom to be able to discern or to have insight as to what my gifts are. Solomon needed wisdom. And he asked God for wisdom, and you look at 1 Kings chapter 3, because he was about to, he was ruling a great people. God gave him wisdom. He asked,
And God gave it.
And so you all know what your gift is. Begin, go on a gift hunt. And then I pray and ask God for wisdom to be able to discern. As you go on your gift hunt, don't only pray for wisdom. Serve now in as many ways as you can. Serve in as many ways as you can. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. That's what Peter said. Be active now. Don't wait and sit down and wait for a vision. Take whatever you've got and do something with it. Many people are sitting down waiting. God, I want you to show me. Show me what you want me to do. Don't just sit there. One preacher came to Freeport about 17 years ago, and I believe you know his name, Frank Perry. And I was sitting about the fourth bench up, and he made this statement, and I never forgot it. He said, when you look at the Bible, just about everyone that God chose, you look to the Bible, they were always doing something. They were always doing something. And so as you go on your gift hunt, pray for wisdom, but still be active. Don't just sit around and wait for God to say. God put his hand on Elijah. Elijah put his hand on Elijah. What was he doing? He was plowing away. He was doing something. God put his hand on Philip. Philip and others were serving tables. But later on, as he was involved in that type of work, we see Philip eventually became Philip the evangelist. He was doing something as they went through life. And so God, begin, as you go on your gift hunt, serve God in as many ways as you can. You might be surprised. Third thing, as you go on your gift hunt, note what you enjoy. What do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing around the local church and in the local church? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you what? The desires of your heart. And so that's what you do. Note what you enjoy. What is it that you enjoy most doing? You might be surprised. And often God will give you special fulfillment and motivation to do things he has gifted you to do. And so just think about it. What is it that you enjoy doing for the Lord? Just think about it. As you go on your gift hunt, pray for wisdom. Serve God now in as many ways as you can. Note what you enjoy. But then there's a fourth thing as you go on your gift hunt. Note where you excel. If the gift is of the Spirit, God will give a special power of effectiveness that will eventually manifest itself. That people will be able to see. And so the Bible makes this statement in the book of Proverbs, a man's gift will make room for him. And as you begin to do what God has called you to do and work and get involved, and as you begin to do it and you begin to perfect it, and we're going to talk about that in the next point after going on a gift hunt, people will see it. It'll begin to excel. It will manifest itself. People begin to come to you and say, you know, do this for me. You're good at this. You're good at that. But look at what you excel in. What you are good at. What you are good at. And that might be the very gift and talent that God has given to you. Many times we are doing things and we don't even take note of it. We don't even think about it. And so we need to remember that. So as we go on our gift hunt, we need to pray for wisdom. We need to serve now in as many ways as we can. We need to note what you and I enjoy, but also note where we excel, where you excel in. For me, you know, I remember even as I began to share publicly in a local fellowship back in Freeport, in the midweek service meetings, my thrust was always challenging the saints to be involved in evangelism. I always was preparing a message that always seemed to come back to that whole idea of evangelism or a gospel message. And only as I got into the work and had to develop other areas that then I sort of developed in terms of ministry, but my emphasis was always gospel. Gospel. Always. I said, where do you think my interest was? Evangelism. And people saw that. And people see it in you. And see where you excel. So note, as you go on your gift hunt, note where you excel. Fifthly, as you go on your gift hunt, get wise counsel from others. One version says, plants fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22. Ask people who know you. Ask people who know you well, or have been working with you. Ask them. People who you have trust in, who you respect, who you think have spiritual insight and maturity. Ask them. But you see, they cannot help you if you're not doing anything. They can't say, you are good in this, I think you are good in this, if you are not involved in the local church. If you're not doing anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so in order for people to see and to be able to give you a critique or to help you in your weaknesses and your strengths, they need to see you performing. Not just for a show, they need to see you active. And so, when you go on a gift hunt, not only are you to pray for wisdom, serve in as many ways as you can, note what you enjoy, note where you excel, but also get wise counsel from people around. And you might be surprised. Brother or sister might say, I think you are very good in this. I've been noticing you, and God has blessed you with this gift in here. And I think that's one of the responsibilities of the spiritual leaders of the church. They need to be observing people in the local fellowship and to see where they're excelling and growing in. And that's why it's so important for them to be involved and to be around, so that they can see. But they can't see if you are not involved. Even as a young person, you need to be involved. As an adult, you need to be involved. Because you have a gift, and God expects you to use it for the body, for the building up of the body. And so not only to inform yourself about the total package of the gift, if you're going to make a difference, not only to go on a gift hunt, but thirdly and finally, you need to develop your gifts if you're going to make a difference. Just because the gift is from God, it doesn't mean that it does not have to be developed. Paul says to Timothy, he says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. It means to revive, to stir up as a fire, to revive a fire. The Phillips translation says, stir up the inner fire which God gave you. The New English Bible says, stir into flame the gift of God which is within you. The Revised Standard Version says, rekindle the gift of God that is within you. So whose responsibility is that? As Paul spoke to this young worker, this young preacher, he says, you, Timothy, are to stir up the gift. And we stir up the gift by developing it. One speaker went to a church, and he was a very effective speaker as he shared the word of God. And someone approached him afterwards and said, did speaking just always come natural to you? And the man looked at the individual who asked him that question. He was holding a guitar, and he says, let me ask you a question before I answer that. Did playing guitar always come natural and easy to you? And the person replied, no, it was awkward at first, it was difficult, he had to admit. And sometimes it hurt my hands how I had to hold that guitar. And the man says, well, I must confess, my early experience, it was not easy either. It's not easy either. And so we need to develop our gifts. And when we're developing our gifts and our talents, we need to give it time. It's not going to be developed overnight. We need to give it time. Give it a lot of time. A young lady by the name of Amy, sung a song for her grandmother. She played the guitar. And the grandmother laughed and said, "Oh, Amy, I don't think singing is your thing." And Amy cried. She cried. The grandmother broke her heart. But she wasn't discouraged. She continued to write songs and sung as she had opportunity. And she didn't stop. So much so she became a popular contemporary Christian singer, Amy Grant. And so, give it time. Give it time. Dan DeHaan was an unusual gifted Bible teacher. He began a Bible study in a house with just a few people. And in a couple of years, it exploded to over 1,000 people meeting in home Bible study. But you know what a teacher told Dan DeHaan once as he was giving in high school a book report? "Son, don't go into public speaking." Don't go into public speaking. And it reminds me, as I told Bridget about our son Jermaine, who at the age 10, 11, said he wanted to be a lawyer. I said, "Bridget, this boy wanted to be a lawyer. He can't even speak to us clearly." But lo and behold, at the age of 15 and 16, he was winning, he was in debates. The best debater in Grand Bahama. On the top three in the Bahamas when he was in high school. In the Bahamas. And so you need to give it time in terms of developing your gifts. And as adults and our children and as leaders in the church, we need to give the young people time as they develop their gifts. They're going to make a difference that needs to be developed, but it needs time to do so. It needs time. I'll never forget. Never mistake inexperience for inability. Never mistake inexperience for inability. We need to remember that. And so we need to develop our gifts. And then we need to work hard at our gifts. Paul, as he wrote to the saints at Ephesus or Colossae, says in verse 28 of chapter 1, "Whom we preach," talking about Christ, who's the hope of glory, "warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ." Verse 29, "Whereunto I also labor," note that term, "labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." One translation puts it this way, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which powerfully works in me." Work hard. Work hard. Many people stand in awe of the of how perfectly Da Vinci structured and sculptured bodies. But it didn't come easy. Many people don't realize that one time it took Da Vinci over 1,000 tries just to get one hand right. 1,000 times just to get one hand right. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, but we don't realize that he succeeded after 1,000 failures. We have the light bulb. We have all different types of light bulbs today, but we don't know what it took for Thomas Edison to get there. He worked hard. And so when we learn what we learn from these men, it takes hard work. A lot of ministry is hard. What we do, we have to develop it, and sometimes it's going to take hard work. But God has not left us alone. Note the verse that Paul says, "To this end I labor, struggling with all of his energy." God energizes each believer. God gives what we need to be able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in us. And so if you want to make a difference, inform yourselves about the total packages of gifts, whether it be natural, whether it be acquired, whether it be the spiritual gifts. Find out. Go on a gift hunt. Go on a gift hunt. Be very persistent about it. Go on a gift hunt. Pray for wisdom. Work as many places as you can. Note what you enjoy. Note what you excel in. Get wise counsel. And then develop your gift. But give it time to develop. And work hard to develop it. And when you and I do, you'll be surprised how God will use us in a mighty way. I want to close with a very, I think, amusing illustration. If you talk about this whole idea of making a difference. And the whole idea of the fact that as you and I discover our gifts, that we must again realize that when we come together as a local church and allow our gifts to be used by the Holy Spirit through us, how beautiful it works together and what an impact it can make. And the fact that again, you and I must realize that we have a gift. You must understand that there are a variety of gifts, that your gifts matter, and that your gift is just as important as my gift. It says, imagine the master carpenter's tools holding a conference. Brother Hammer presides, but several suggest he leave the meeting because he is too noisy. Brother Hammer replies, if I have to leave this shop, Brother Screw must go also. You have to turn him around again and again to get him to accomplish anything. Brother Screw then speaks up. If you wish, I'll leave, but Brother Plain must leave too. All his work is on the surface. His efforts have no depth. To this, Brother Plain responded, but a rule would also have to withdraw, for he is always measuring folks as though he were the only one who is right. Brother Rule then complains about Brother Sandpaper. He ought to leave too, because he is so rough and always rubbing people the wrong way. And so goes the discourse. In the midst of all this discussion, in walks the carpenter of Nazareth. He has arrived to start his day's work. Putting on his apron, he goes to the bench to make a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. He uses brother's hammer, screw, plane, rule, sandpaper, and all the other tools. After the day's work, when the pulpit is finished, Brother Saw arises and remarks, brethren, I observe that all of us are workers together with him. But you see, you can't be workers together with him and being effective if you do not know what your gift is. You see, that makes a difference. And you won't know if you're just going to sit down, come to church, and say, serve me. Let me watch the show. You need to get involved. You need to get involved. And so if you are a Christian here tonight, no matter your age, you have a gift. It may not be like mine. It might be like some, it might not be like the other person, but you have a gift. And your gift is vitally important. The hammer was important, the building, not pulpit. The plane and the rule and the sandpaper, the screwdriver, the screw. Everyone was important. So you are important. So that's why it's so vitally important that you understand, that you know what your gift is. And when you do, you will make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's pray. All heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to challenge you tonight. In your heart as you sit there, and maybe you are here and you're saying, Lord, I've heard that message and you've spoken to me. And maybe you are struggling as, Lord, where do you want me to be? Like I said, and I want to suggest, if you're not involved as you ought, get involved. Go to the leaders or Sunday school leader, youth leader, whatever. I want to do something. What is there for me to do? Or maybe God has been speaking to you about doing and getting involved. And maybe you are involved and you still somehow have not identified exactly what your gift is. Right where you are. Say that to the Lord and let Him know that you want to serve Him more and you want to be more effective and you want to make a difference. Ask Him. Pray that He will give you wisdom. Again, commit yourself to Him afresh. Father, we do thank You this evening. Thank You that we are workers together with You. And we thank You for the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts and who enables us by Your grace and by His power to be and to do what You've called us to do. And so I thank You for Your people here this evening, young and old. May You cause this word again, O Lord, to find root and a place in our hearts. And that, Lord, that we will apply it. And we, O Lord, desire to obey it. Thank You for the gifts and the talents that You've given to us, whether naturally, whether acquired, and of course the spiritual gifts, Lord. May we commit them all to You as we surrender all to You daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we just sing a stanza in closing of All to Jesus I Surrender. I don't think Brother Tony has to come. I think we know that. Sing beautifully. Just a stanza in the chorus.